Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 654, Halo 5's Birthday Greatest Hits, recorded live on October 25th, 2018. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we actually have two cameras this week on the live stream. Yay!
It only took us 45 minutes.
Right.
It's always great when you have things fixed before you start, and then you start and everything breaks.
Yeah, because it only took us 15 minutes to get it fixed the first time, and then we spent another 30 minutes trying to fix it after we fixed it the first time.
Yeah.
Come on, OBS. What? Oh, OBS or Nginx, one of the two. Nginx.
Well, we think we have an idea what is the problem, but we'll have to do some testing to find out if it's true.
Yeah. But we're working for now. Everyone that's downloading the show is like, I don't care. This is just an audio podcast. Well, we're video now, too.
All you want to hear is voices.
Yes.
But we do have this for your benefit if you want to watch the stream again in the archives. Yeah, see?
Yeah.
That's why we do it.
And we like that people interact with us, too, because we get some good feedback lifetime from our listeners. So we got everyone on Mixer, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook right now. I don't even see DC Rock Nation on YouTube. I wonder if because we started late or something.
It could be.
Yeah. We have Confal over in the Twitch as usual, already starting off with some of the bits. And we have Keys, Misa Red, Pins, Halo, Killer P in the Mixer chat. And we have a couple of messages over on the Facebook side. Michael Newton, not sure who he is, but hello to you. And G. Lewis over there as well. And the wife's watching too. So we are ready to dive in to our podcast for the evening. So as we normally start off with, GT, give us a recap on this weekend's streams. Start with Freaking Friday.
Party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. No, we had a lot of fun. Enjoyed a night of Halo. It was really enjoyable.
Good. It's actually one of the times I did not show up.
Some of the people were a little silly, just being silly.
I mean, it's Halo. Sometimes it gives you the kind of the goofy side of things. So sure. Yeah,
generally, when you have a group of people playing Halo, somewhere along the line, something goes a little wacky.
I mean, it wouldn't be Halo if it wasn't, right? Pretty much.
You know, it's kind of like when, you know, everybody, you know, you get together with all your friends. Sometimes things get just a little weird.
Sure.
It happens in video games, too.
It sure does. Sure does. Cool. So what did you guys end up playing?
Max, we started out in some Fiesta. Then we moved into... Oh, we played some Infection as well.
Very nice.
We just kind of... It kind of a mixed bag. We got to get in a couple of Warzone matches.
Very nice.
It's all fun.
Good. How many people end up attending?
We wound up with, I think, about 8 or 9 people.
That's a good number.
We got to the point where we were too big for most lobbies. That's why we jumped into Warzone. Played a few customs. So it was a lot of fun.
And Penn says you also played some Infection.
Yeah. I said that.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry. Oh. Yeah. Dealing with all the technical issues, and then is like, oh, I'm missing stuff now, so my brain's having technical issues now.
Brain fried.
All in the week's work. Very nice. I did not get a chance to dive in late like I have been in the past, but I should be there tomorrow. I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be, so I should be there part of tomorrow. And I'm also excited about some of the playlist changes coming this week.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a little bit. As for my streams, I did stream more achievement hunting. I got 3 new par scores. I got Uprising on Halo 2 to finish out my Halo 2 par scores. So those are all done. And I got Uplift, Nature Reserve, and Oni Alpha Sight on ODST. I have two more on ODST, and then I'm done with par scores completely across the board.
Nice.
And then I'm not sure what I'm going to do after that. Either some of the multiplayer stuff. There is actually, so if someone wants to join me on Sunday, there is one co-op achievement I need in Halo 2. And it is to just complete a mission co-op heroic on Halo 2.
Or so, you just fire up a spare controller.
Yeah, but I mean, it would get someone involved. I mean, I guess I could. Or I could do it with the wife if she wanted to stream on Sunday.
You could.
She's already in bed by that time, so she wouldn't be able to. Unless I started early. There would be a way to get her involved, but I have to run that by her. See if I start the stream early and then... Well, but then we haven't played Halo 2 yet.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to spoil anything.
I like how I'm thinking this out on the podcast. Yeah. So, if someone wants to join me on Sunday to run that achievement, then I would be open for someone to join me on Sunday for that achievement.
Oh, that's the achievement where you have to complete it with that one skull on, right?
Probably.
Where one of you has infinite ammo but no shields, the other one's got over shields but can't shoot.
I honestly didn't read the full description of the achievement because I just saw it say Halo 2 play co-op.
Well, I believe that's in Halo 2. Let me look here.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look it up right now on the Xbox app. And right now, oh, there you go. I'm going to say the filter was broken. But it's not broken. It just wasn't working. So it's probably at the very bottom. Halo 2, complete all legendary missions under 3 hours. Oh, I got to do that one. It's part-time. Well, I got to do that for all of them. Yeah, Halo 2, complete a level in co-op on Heroic or Legendary with the Master Blaster skull active.
Yeah, Master Blaster.
So you're right. Oh, and I still have Halo CE complete library on Heroic or Legendary without dying. I almost did that on stream on Tuesday with the wife. And I got to the final door and I died.
Don't you hate that?
The final door. And I died.
Actually, I think you can still turn on the helpful skulls and get that one.
You can. But I was trying to do a two for legit one type of thing. Yeah. Well, and it was just like one of those things. I'm going to try to do this while running through it because I know I can do it. But now, granted, I made a mistake and I went into one of the little wedges right before the door to try to get away from the carrier forms. And I didn't look to see that there was a combat form in the corner, so I got smacked.
Yeah, well, that definitely...
So that was frustrating. It's like getting to the very end and all of a sudden, nope, I'm dead. And I tried to do it where I could hit start and go back, but in Halo CE, there's a weird thing where it doesn't always go through like the 3 or 4 seconds for the death cam. Sometimes, like as you die, like 1 second, you'll be back in. And when I hit pause, it already spawned me in, so I couldn't like go back to Josh checkpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. Halo CE, you had to be quick if you were going to pull that stunt.
Yeah. I thought about it like 2 seconds into it. I'm like, okay, hit start. I'm already spawned. You're like, crap.
Damn it.
Yeah. So, Misa, you can do that co-op if you wanted to. You just have to make sure that someone goes ahead, clears it out, and you just kind of hang behind so you don't die. Because it doesn't... Halo doesn't increase the difficulty in the older games like it does in the newer games when it's co-op. It's just all standard. It's all the same. Pins.
Actually, Misa, if you turn on... I can't think what call it was.
Which one are you thinking of?
I'd have to look. I forget.
Because there's a couple of good, useful skulls in Halo CE Anniversary.
I'm coming to find that Sputnik is just freaking fun.
It is, but you gotta be careful.
Well, yeah, you do. Especially when you turn on Feather.
Yeah. But that also works. You want to have
real fun? Turn on Sputnik, Feather, Grunt Funeral, and the Scarab Skull.
So much fun. And then there's Boom as well. If it ain't
bolted down, it's flying everywhere.
Yep.
I don't know how many times I've been killed by a box doing that.
Yeah, gotta be careful, but it's definitely fun. Yeah, I can't remember all the skulls in Halo CE, like all the silver skulls. I tried doing a search for it.
Are you gonna make me look?
I got a skull location guy, but it's like, no, I just want the skulls.
Like, I just want a list of these skulls.
Yeah, because they're different from Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary on Xbox 360 than they are in MCC. I think. I don't think they're the same.
Yeah, they are different.
Well, GT's going in the game and checking, so he'll have an answer in a second.
I'm looking. I know the bandana skull is in there, which in Halo CE Anniversary is a pain to get to.
What, the actual skull?
Yes.
Is that the one? That's the one that's in the security control room.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have to grenade jump.
That one's a pain. Grenade jump, or, yeah, well, you can try to double jump, but even that one is risky.
Yeah, I had no luck in double jumping.
Did you end up getting that one for the achievement run? Or not the achievement run, the campaign achieving Halo? You got it?
Yeah, it's in there. It should be in the video. Run.
Okay. Because I remember we were talking about that and just like how difficult it was and how many times you had to do it just to try to get there.
Yeah, I think for the run, it took me, five or six times to get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Penn says we're going to Warthog down there. Yeah, you could. It's just tricky to get around the tree at the bottom.
Oh, no, actually, getting it down there is not a problem. Okay, the non-scoring skulls are Bandana, Boom.
Goes with Dynamite.
Grand Birthday Party, Pinata, Malfunction, and Grunt Funeral. So you turn on Bandana, Boom, and let's see.
Grunt Funeral, might as well.
Pinata's fun.
Well, no, you don't need Grunt Funeral.
Because every time you kill a Flood, they drop grenades.
Is it every time you kill it or every time you melee kill it?
Well, you melee it, it'll drop more, but
okay.
It kind of works like catch sometimes, but not always.
Okay.
Yeah, they're different. There's a different set of skulls than the other. But for that library run, if you turn on Bandana, Boom, and Pinata, well, you don't really need Pinata because you have infinite grenades and infinite.
Gotta be careful with Boom, because the tunnels. Yes, you gotta
be careful with Boom, because
the carrier forms,
their explosion radius like triples.
Yeah,
but they make handy grenades.
That's true. Like chain reactions.
You get one waddling in the middle of the pack. And whoosh. You get it to pop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
it's fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But if you're going to use the grenade jumps and stuff to complete it, leave Boom off. Because you will detonate yourself.
You will die.
Many, many times.
And I would say, like, doing that just without skulls, it takes knowing when to kind of push through the Flood and when to stay back a little bit.
Well, I mean, if you follow the speedrun path, it's not too bad. Because you avoid a lot of fights.
Hiding in corners or jumping over the little...
Yeah, jumping over some wall.
Yeah.
Jumping through the doors.
Jumping around the inner ring instead of fighting the Flood in the index corridor.
That's part of my standard run now. I don't even go through the normal path anymore. I always jump through the center.
Yeah. There are some of the things I had to forego doing on my run with the wife watching just so she could get some of the story stuff. But there were some shortcuts I took on Legendary because, like, you're not going to miss any story if I do this.
You know, if you're doing it for story, follow the path. Because there are little tidbits and stuff that you'll miss if you speed run it or use the speed running stuff. So
I do have Halo CE, Halo 2, Halo 4, but I still have to do Legendary in under 3 hours. So it looks like I've gotten Halo 3 done on Legendary. Halo 4 shouldn't be difficult to do Legendary in under 3 hours because there's several shortcuts there. Halo 2 is going to be a pain to do. Halo CE can be done as well.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of lucky checkpoints.
The problem I have with Halo 2 is the first level. After that, I'm good. At least until I start coming up against the Jackal Snipers again. Then.
Yeah, in Halo 2. Yeah. But Halo 2, even though it's probably one of the more difficult campaigns, it probably is, I think probably is the campaign with the most shortcuts in it.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible, but it's definitely difficult. Well, it's easy if you can perform the shortcuts well. Otherwise, it's a pain.
Yeah, if you're going to speedrun it, it's something you really need to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And get good at doing all the shortcuts.
The lasos are going to be a pain. I am not looking forward to it.
The nice thing is a lot of the speedrunning shortcuts make laso on Halo 2 significantly easier.
Yeah. I think Halo 1, Halo CE is probably the one I'm most worried about for laso. Because I did try doing it at one point, and just getting past that first room after the grunts, after going to the bridge, that part is hard.
Well, you can always do the through the ceiling glitch.
I don't even know of that glitch.
No, wait a minute. You can't. Can you? No, you can't on Legendary because you don't start in the cryo tube. Never mind.
Huh.
You can only do that on lower difficulties because on Legendary, you start right in the, you start in the cryo room, but you don't start in, you know, it doesn't put you through the tutorial and everything.
What does it have to do with how something gets positioned after the tutorial? I'm guessing.
There's something with the cryo tube that you do to get you pushed up into the ceiling, if I remember correctly. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I mean, there are definitely videos out there I could watch. I just have to go watch them. Moving on to Tuesday, I got through the library, as we talked about a little bit, and I got through two betrayals. So we have two more missions that we'll be doing next week to wrap up Halo CE.
Cool.
And that'll be done. Yeah. So if you want to participate in any of our streams, you can hit up GT on Fridays at 8:30. That's when we host the Fraggin' Fridays. And then you can catch my stream on Sunday at 10 p.m. for when I do my achievements. And then I stream with the wife right now on my personal Mixer channel. And that is between 7 and 7:30 start time. And those are all Eastern times. All right. I think it's time to jump us into some news.
Yeah.
All righty. So we have a couple of new Waypoint article things. First one up is a 2018 update for the HCS, or HCS, as all the UK casters seem to emphasize on the H. So DreamHack Atlanta, which will be coming in just about 3 weeks, will be the last Halo 5 event for the Halo Championship Series. So DreamHack Atlanta, for those that are going, that will be the last Halo 5 tournament. Kind of sad I'm not going now, but I do have other plans that I wouldn't be able to go even if I could.
Even find if you had tickets.
Yeah. So that'll be the last Halo 5 tournament. So if you were kind of on the edge of thinking about going and you want to go, if you have a chance to get there, it might be worth checking it out. I think tickets are still available for spectators. I haven't seen anything about them saying everything is sold out yet. So it might be worth checking out. And it's not only Halo at DreamHack Atlanta. That's just where this finals is taking place. There are other games that it will be taking place there as well. So it'd be great to check out. There's other competitive esports events that take place during all the DreamHack locations. So it's worth checking out. The Halo 5 circuit has been going on for 3 years and has awarded over $6 million.
That's a lot of green.
That is a lot of green.
It's not 900,000 like some jerk in the East Coast got, but.
Huh?
The Mega Millions pot.
Oh. Was that drawn today or?
No, it was drawn earlier this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 900 and something million dollars.
Can retire off of that. Just don't take it all at once. If you ever win the lottery, just do not take it all at once. Take it in installments. It'll go a long way.
Yeah. No, they'll probably be broke.
Tashi says in the article, later this year, we are kicking off a program to support grassroots tournaments and content creators all across all Halo titles, and we'll have full details to share at DreamHack Atlanta. So they're looking to support more of the community tournaments and other grassroots movements like the Microsoft Store stuff that has been going on. And while I don't agree with moving to Halo 3 for like a full-on competitive stuff, they did say that there's a lot of interest for it. I think it's just a lot of the older pros wanting Halo 3, but my opinion is, if you want to play Halo 3, Halo 3 is still around. That's not the latest Halo. That's not where the gaming industry is. Like, 343 is not going to go back and remake Halo 3, because that, if you want to play Halo 3, play Halo 3.
I don't understand what they're doing here. You know, it makes no sense unless Halo Infinite is actually closer to being done than they've let on. Like I said,
Tashi did say in there that the esports team is working closely with a developer team to take some of the lessons learned that they've had over the last 3 years of hosting Halo 5 tournaments and what they've seen the competitive community want. And I don't doubt we'll see some of the kind of core fundamentals of Halo 3 probably make it into Infinite, but to like remake Halo 3 with a new skin and everything, like same weapons and same, that's a bad idea.
I want Halo Infinite to be its own game. I don't want it to be a rehash of Halo 3.
Exactly. We don't need an anniversary or a remake. It's like, no, make Halo Infinite, make it the next iteration of Halo and keep evolving the title. There's no point in remaking an old game.
I have very little problem with the current multiplayer. There are some things that do need adjustment. There are some abilities that I would not miss.
Yeah.
Spartan Charge is one of them. It just reminds me too much of another game that has something like that in it for one particular character, which is really freaking annoying. At least in Halo, everybody has it. When Halo Infinite comes out, I don't want to feel like I'm playing Halo 3.
Yeah. I don't either. Not like, don't get me wrong. Don't just polish the game and call it Halo Infinite. And it's like, oh wait, there's Halo 3 under the hood here. Like a lot. Take the fundamentals of Halo 3 that made Halo 3 a great multiplayer experience, but then adapt it into what Halo Infinite is going to be. Don't just copy paste and just change the pretty aspects of it. And I know they're not going to do that, but for all the other competitive community people out there that are like, oh, Halo 3 was the time and they should bring Halo 3 back. It's like, if you want to play Halo 3, Halo 3 is there. No one's stopping you from playing it. Go play it. There's plenty of other people that play it, but don't say that Halo 3 is where Halo needs to go. It's not. Halo needs to continue to develop and continue to enhance and evolve and build on top of what's already been built. Every game for Halo has built something on top of it, for better or for worse, but it needs to continue to grow and develop. It can't be the same games as previous games. You can keep the fundamentals and the core values in there, and sure, it'd be nice to have Race officially back and the big team maps in there, but those are like modules of the Halo experience, and there's multiple modules from all the games that work well with Halo. Bring them all in and make a package, which it sounds like by the title and from some of the people I've talked to, that's what they're trying to do. It's like they want to honor Halo's legacy and how it came up, but try to make sure it's fresh, new, and invigorating to players of all ages. So whether they're old-time Halo fans or if they're new, Halo has to be able to appeal to both audiences, get the longtime Halo fans on deck, which I'm already on deck and I'm a longtime Halo fan, and also be able to appeal to other audiences that are into things like Fortnite or Black Ops 4 or all the other kind of really quick pace and very feature rich games. It's a tough balance to make as well.
Oh yeah, I understand. You know, I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy all the other Halo multiplayers. I had fun in them, some more than others. Halo 5's multiplayer is the game I've had the most fun in on a day-to-day basis. Don't get me wrong. I've got moments from Halo CE that are just absolutely hilarious. Had a lot of fun with it playing, four people on the same console, or, linking a couple of them together and getting eight people out on Blood Gulch and cross map shooting people with pistols and, hiding in the corner in your black armor with a sniper rifle, stuff like that. I'm not saying they weren't fun, but everybody praises Halo 3. And for multiplayer, that is the one game that I like the least. The way they did the multiplayer, especially the aiming system, as far as how they detected hits and misses, was wonky.
Yeah.
The maps, love the maps. It's just with that wonky aiming, it just made it unenjoyable for me. With Halo Reach, with the introduction of mobility packages, like you could have Sprint, you could have Jetpack, you could have Armor Lock, which I never really had a problem with Armor Lock, because people would go into Armor Lock. What would I do? I would step back and I would wait for them to come out of it and put a grenade at their feet.
Yeah, but if you were like me that were trying to finish kills off of melees, then like two or three friends before you melee, they go into Armor Lock, and by the time you're toast.
Like I said, if I ever had that, somebody dropped in an Armor Lock, the first thing I'd do is start backing up.
It did make for some good customs. I will say that Armor Lock did have some useful pieces to it.
The only time I really had a problem with Armor Lock is in vehicles, aka a Ghost or a Warthog, high-speed vehicles. Because everybody has had that person armor lock in front of them while they're blazing across the map. You see somebody, you're looking to get a splatter, and armor lock. Okay, fine. But, like I said, anyway, with Halo 4, with the addition of the base Sprint, even though it was a limited thing, that made it a little bit more enjoyable for me. The mod packages and everything that they introduced, that was the way they laid the multiplayer out. That was too Call of Duty-esque. With the, what did they call them? Like the advanced mobility and things like that. That really stepped away from it. I didn't think Sprint damaged Halo 4 as much as the armor mods you could put on, or drops and things like that.
Yeah, no, I certainly, because, and I mean, in some ways I can see like some of those things being in canon, other things maybe not so much, but when it comes to the multiplayer aspect of things for Arena, some of that stuff probably doesn't need to be there on kind of a competitive scale. But then again, you have those turn onable in social, because I mean, they've turned off so many of the different Spartan abilities for HCS for Halo 5. So it's just like, okay.
In competitive, that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's the way the competitors want to play it, that's fine. But I don't want what the pros want to affect what I get. You know, if, you know, certain things disappear, like sprint, which I doubt it will, that actually, in my mind, is a step backwards. And I know everybody says, well, sprint doesn't belong in Halo. I don't care.
Sprint's in every other first-person shooter.
I don't care what games it's in. Sprint belongs in Halo. It is canon in Halo.
I mean, the books talk about how the Spartans run at crazy speeds.
Exactly. The fact that you have a armored, but you're basically in an armored personnel vehicle and you can't walk faster than anybody else, that kind of that's always messed with me in the earlier games. I always thought sprint should be in Halo. From the first time I played Halo 1, especially the first time I ever had to track across Blood Gulch on foot. But anyway, you know, that's way off topic, but
everyone's been talking about PR to some degree, and we are going to have some podcasts about it at some point. Oh, yeah.
Especially once we actually get some freaking information.
Yeah. Well, I would like to have two shows, and I've kind of put seeds out there to a few people, but first is having a debate on should Halo have or have not Battle Royale mode. And the second one would be kind of a separate one too, for everyone that wants Battle Royale, how would we implement Battle Royale? Because there's plenty of ideas out there, and I think some of the popular ones is make it ODST style. They're dropping already.
Yeah. I mean, you can make it fit the game.
Yeah. The story and the platform and the lore is there to support it.
But yeah. Not even, I just, Battle Royale is, yeah, you know, it just doesn't seem to fit with the Halo formula. Not that Warzone does either, but at least it tends to follow the established enemy formula. You know, you're still fighting Prometheans, Covenant, stuff like that. Where in a battle royale, you'd be fighting other humans. And yeah, granted, they could do insurrectionists, but it's, you know, most of the battle royale stuff's free for all.
Or a squad, yeah.
You know, like I said, you can do free for all or squad. If it was a standalone game, I wouldn't mind it as much. Like a standalone, you know, free to play game.
I mean, that's
something like that.
I mean, there's a lot of games like that now because it's free to play, but then there's all the microtransactions to get all your skins and whatnot. Right.
You know, like I said, if they wanted to do a game like that and have it be its own thing, that's fine. As far as including it in, you know, a mainstream Halo game, I really don't think it belongs there.
I mean, they added Warzone. Honestly, Warzone Firefight I enjoy because it's basically Firefight. Which is a lot of fun.
I mean, it's a little different structure to the weapons, and you know, you don't have rounds and sets. You just have rounds, which it's fine. You know, they have the different levels of Firefight where you can make it as hard as you want. You know, if you really want to crank it up, you know, on the weekends, you can jump up to Mythic and die on the first round or lose it on the first round.
Well, and I've also seen the argument out there too that 343 should let the community make the BR mode, because there is one in Halo 5, but they would have to make the tools to support the development of such a mode to begin with. So in a way, they would have to kind of open up the playing field in such a way where, okay, give this the ability to do 64 players, but then you'd also have to make sure you could have spawn points that have random weapons or random power-ups and the whole gambit of things.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to go in as Spartans, maybe you start off with no shields and then taking, like, Fortnite, or like the Fortnite example, you find the little potion balls in Fortnite, you maybe find some kind of like standard shield thing as a level one, then the level two would be overshield, something like that, and then you would have the health.
I think packs, you have to drop naked. You have to go find your armor too.
If you're doing ODSTs, you could possibly do that.
I get the appeal of the battle royale games. I'm not a person that enjoys that type of battle. You know, I like the continuity of Halo's multiplayer. Everybody sure. has the same shot at the same power weapon, and there's only one. You know, there's only one rocket launcher. There's generally only, you know, there's one or two snipers, depending on how big the map is. You know, that's fine. But, you know, your real high-powered weapons, like a rocket launcher, gradient launcher, things like that, you generally only get one.
And those could come in like a supply drop or something.
Right. But I like that they're fixed. You know, it's every time it comes up, it's a rocket launcher. And, you know, you have to strategize for that stuff and be ready for it when it pops up. But everybody else, they have weapons that are equivalent. You know, there's usually only a couple of BRs on a map. So, you know, you don't have a whole team, or, you know, you don't have everybody loading in with BRs. Your starts are you get fair starts. And I really enjoy that. You know, one of the downsides, and yes, I do play Destiny, is everybody's got a shotgun in their pocket right now. You know, it's kind of like in Halo 4, everybody had a plasma pistol in their pocket, made vehicles almost useless. Well, now, you know, in Destiny, everybody's got a shotgun in their pocket, and most of their maps are close quarters maps. You know, it's weapon balance. That's what I like about Halo. I know that the person that I'm shooting at across the map started with the same thing I have. And if they have something different, that means it's something they picked up on the map, and I know that they picked it up. Because when I went to get it, it wasn't there. But yeah, I that part of the classic Halo style, I like. Classic Halo movements, not so much.
And like we were saying before, there are bits and pieces from every game that really fit well. I mean, I could think of Halo 3, the ranked system was probably the best one. Halo Reach, the customization system was probably the best one.
Well, I will say Halo 3's probably used to be the best one. Halo 5's got a pretty good ranking system now when it comes to ranking the individual players with their true skill.
Yeah. Although there's still been a lot of people that have voiced...
complained, and there was a lot of people that complained, bitched, and moaned about Halo 3 too.
Yeah.
And after the fifth time in one night coming up against 50s, I... complained a lot as well.
Yeah. And well, no system's perfect.
Yeah, no system's perfect. Every system's going to have problems. But Halo 5 has done the best job so far.
I personally haven't had problems with it. It's like the difference before and after the implementation, it felt like I was getting a lot more even matchups. In ranked.
The biggest place that I notice it is before I'm ranked in a playlist.
Okay.
You know, when I'm doing my 10 ranking matches, that's where I notice it the most. Before, I was constantly getting match against Onyxes and high platinums, and I was getting matched against these people that I had no business playing. And the reason I was getting matched against them is because they hadn't been ranked yet. But you go in and you check their histories and you can see what they've been ranked at, what their highest ranks have been. And, you know, those people have no business playing me. And my average rank, initial rank, has gone up one level since they've initiated this. I was averaging between Platinum 2 and Platinum 3, but now my average is like Platinum 4, Platinum 5, since they've implemented that, because I'm getting fair matches. You know, I'm not totally, you know, I'm not totally walking away with wins, but I'm getting a better balance between wins and losses than I was.
Yeah, it's more competitive and more even.
You know, before I used to lose, you know, 7 out of 10 games, now I lose 4, 5, maybe 6 if I'm having a real bad night. But yeah, you know, things have improved.
And they're learning. They're still trying their best at getting things done. So yeah.
Can't wait for our first official news on Halo Infinite.
We'll probably have a little more information at DreamHack regarding HCS and Infinite. Don't know if we'll really get much information, but we might get some.
Yeah, they're going to play it. That's what they'll sell us.
If only that were true.
No, that they're going to tell us that that's going to be the next big game for HCS.
Well, yeah, for down the road. Yeah. Like that one's not hard to figure out. Going back to the article, though, Tashi did say, depending on participation and viewership in the 2v2 showdown at DreamHack Atlanta, they'll kind of get a feel for supporting other competitive offerings through MCC. So it's going to depend on the participation and the viewership, which participation has already gone through the roof, because whenever they had the tickets out for the registration for the online stuff, it was sold out within minutes for all the 2v2 teams. Depending on what the reaction is to that, we'll see how people come into playing it or watching it. As far as Halo Infinite, there's not much to really talk about. Like Tashi said in the article, there probably be some more information during DreamHack Atlanta, but for the moment, they are working with the development team on some of the feedback that they've generated over the past 3 years of running the Halo 5 tournaments, taking some of the other learnings that they have as far as new maps, game types, spectator observer modes, local server, and all that kind of stuff, and making sure those get implemented into Halo Infinite for down the road. So everything that they've learned and all the stuff that people have complained about during the time that Halo 5 was part of HCS, they're taking that to heart and making sure that all that gets implemented in the future Halo title. Let's just have Oddball and King of the Hill and all those other traditional core game modes there from the start with Forge and a working theater mode. That'd be nice. 3-4-3.
And a campaign theater mode and local storage for save films.
Yes. Please.
Not on the server. Local.
Please and thank you. So HCS finals, as a reminder, start on Friday, November 16th, which is from tomorrow. It will be 3 weeks out in Atlanta. So if you have a chance to go, definitely try to take it. This will be the last Halo 5 one, if that's something that you're interested in. If not, we'll have to see, I guess, based on the response that the 2v2 gets, whether or not there'll be some more HCS afterwards, or maybe they'll kind of take a step back and really help support the foundational grassroots type stuff. And maybe we'll just see a return of HCS kind of full blown when Infinite launches. Maybe just take kind of a backseat, help kind of bolster up the program, and just come out of the gate swinging when Infinite launches.
You know, I'm glad that they are looking to spend more effort supporting these smaller tournaments. It does a lot to help get people into competitive Halo and helps these smaller tournaments grow, you know, offer better prizes, things like that. So I think it'll be a really good thing. I just don't see it. It just doesn't make sense that they're stepping away from HCS for what is estimated to be 1.75 years. That's a long time to have yourself out of the mix.
Well, the people are speculating 2020, 2021. We honestly just don't know right now.
Oh, if it's not next fall, it'll be 2020, I'm sure.
My guess is going to be 2020. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards.
I would love to see it next fall, but with the lack of promotion that they went through this year on any Halo game.
Well, and they only released the tech demo for Slith Space Engine. And with,
like I said, with the lack of information that they've pushed out this year, it makes me question next year for a launch. Next year, we'll probably start seeing more and more information about it for a 2020 release.
Yeah. Because I don't see anything, especially when you're building a new engine from the pretty much the ground up, like not just retooling the game to a different engine, but like building your own engine, that's got to take time.
And with the showing they had with Halo 5, they really do need to get this right.
Yeah. Yeah, MCC was a major flop out the gate.
And then, you know, they backed that up with Halo 5, which it had a stable launch. It just wasn't much there.
Yeah, didn't retain the player base, and it didn't help that all the marketing that went into that game was irrelevant.
You know, that hurt the campaign side of it, but what hurt the game the most is the fact that when it launched, there was no Forge. Which, don't get me wrong, Forge was worth the wait, but it should have been there at launch. And the limited amount of game types that you had.
Yeah, because there were three, a whopping three, not including Warzone.
Oh, and 343, if you are listening, make sure there's a game type in there that allows you to have 16 player free for all. Just tip.
Oh yeah, you can't do 16 player free for all in Halo 5. No, can you?
You can do 8 people.
Can you do 12? No, you can't do 12.
You can do 12 if you're using an infection game type.
That's bad.
But if you've got 16 players, it's got to be team-based. Well, I think you can do an infection up to 16 as well, but...
got to get out of that arena focus. Just that's like some of the fundamental stuff.
You don't even have to make a playlist for that. It just needs to be an option for customs.
Yeah, for sure. Certainly.
And it would be nice if you would let us fill lobbies in the social playlists. Like if I got 10 people that want to play Super Fiesta, I should be able to just load it in matchmaking and play it.
Yeah, instead of having to build a custom game for it.
I understand why they didn't, because of rec points and the commendations. That's fine. But it would be nice to be able to just on a game night, throw on a Super Fiesta playlist and just play.
Something to think about for
or
the future.
Action Sack or something like that.
Just, yeah, it's nuts. Some of the simple things that they just did not include in the game. Well, hopefully they've learned. And some of that learning they will take into Infinite, which sounds like Tashi said they're doing for the esports side of things, which could kind of lean to make sense that they're doing it for other aspects of the game as well. I'm pretty sure they've learned their lesson, though. I'm pretty sure they've picked that one up.
I'm hoping I can get in on that early flighting program.
Yep. Well, Fingers crossed. Pretty much. I mean, I don't think they've said this verbatim, but I think pretty much everyone that's in the MCC Insider program right now is probably going to be one of the first candidates to be part of the flighting program, if it's not the same flighting program for Infinite.
Yeah. It's probably where they're going to get start inviting their early groups, the people that are the most active in the MCC builds, and you know, giving feedback and stuff like that are probably going to be the ones they want in the flighting programs for Infinite. I mean, that's the way I would do it. If I have a group of people that are already giving me feedback in a respectable manner, and you know they're actively participating in these testing sections, those are the people I'm going to look at.
Yep. Pretty much.
Which makes me really sad that I was unable to get on and join in any of the testing this last weekend.
Well, it's around this weekend, too.
Yeah, I know.
And they have a little more things that they're going to bring to the table. They'll have some more playlists and other things, which we'll get to in a minute. But, I mean, just to echo what GT was saying, if you want to be part of helping provide input into Infinite, then the best way is going to be participating in the Insider program if you are part of it already. And jumping into the play sessions, making it known to 343 that saying, hey, I'm willing to put time and effort to provide my criticisms and make the product a better product for the rest of the community. It's that simple.
And even if you do the testing and you don't find any problems or don't have anything that you want to change, give them feedback like that. Say, hey, it's perfect. I love it.
It
didn't have any problems.
Yeah.
Mwah. You know, stuff like that. Stuff like that works as well. You don't have to have a problem to leave feedback.
Nope. Good feedback, bad feedback, feedback of any kind is always appreciated. All right, we do have a community update that got posted about 30 minutes before the show, so at least we got to read through it a little bit. So thanks, Grim.
A little bit.
Oh. Oh, I guess before we go on, Penn says he wants to have the emotional kick in the balls that was at the end of Halo 4. Get some emotions going. I wouldn't
doubt they'll provide that, but
I'm sure there'll be some emotional storyline with Master Chief and the rampant part of Cortana that is in the domain.
Be interesting to see how they wrap that storyline up.
There's a lot of storylines that have been left open. Some of which I know are closed that I haven't read yet, but there's still
yeah, some of them closed and just left more questions.
Yeah, that too. But it's definitely a lot to take in. So the penultimate proclamations is this week's community update, and we've already talked about a couple of things in there. But the first one up here is they have the description for Halo Renegades up there. And they also link to Halo Canon's cover reveal video that he talks a little bit about some of the past history with Ryan Forge and the previous books and what he thinks is going to be taking place in this book. Should we really read a description for this, GT, you think? Or should I let people go and read it?
No, we can read it.
So the description that Grimm gives for the book is Find, Claim, Profit. In a post-Covenant War galaxy littered with scrap, it's the Salvager's motto, and Ryan Forge certainly made her mark on the trade. All she wanted was to grow her business and continue the search for her long-lost father, but her recent discovery of a foreigner debris field at the edge of a human-occupied space has now put her squarely in the crosshairs of Oni and the violent remains of the Covenant. Each faction has a desire to lay claim to the spoils of ancient technology, whatever the cost, sending Ryan and the crew of Ace of Spades on a perilous venture, one that unexpectedly leads them straight into danger far greater than anything they've ever encountered. It is available for pre-order right now on Amazon. You can find it over at potdeckler.com/renegades. We have a link over there for you to go and purchase it. It is $11.99 on Kindle, $12.75 on paperback, and $12.48 in audiobook form. So potdeckler.com/renegades will take you there to pre-order the book. And it's going to be coming out on February 19th of 2019.
And I don't know if this is correct or not, but in the audiobook, they pronounce her name Rion.
Rion?
Rion.
Okay. Okay.
It's been kind of funny. I've been listening to all these different people say her name, and everybody says it differently. I don't know if that's technically the correct way you would say that, but that's the way I'm going to put it this way. That's the way 343 approved it being said.
This would be a good project for Grimm, especially with all the cannon fodder that he's done. To, you know how like on dictionary.com or whatever, they have the pronunciation audio snippets that you can click on?
Yeah.
Can we please get that for Halo? Please?
Especially for alien names?
Yes. Like, we all know Sang Shyum and Sang Healy and Jiro Ahane now, so we've got all that. But for all these things, especially when you have audiobooks that have the same name and they say it two different ways, we need an official saying for names and species and other weird words within the Halo universe.
Yes.
Please, Grimm.
Because I will tell
please.
You guys have a vivid imagination on how to make words.
And I'm sure we're not the only people who have talked about it, because we're not a lore-focused podcast. We're all-encompassing. But I'm sure, like, Hidden Xperia or Toa Freak or the Podcast Evolve folks, I'm sure they've had a similar frustration. It's like, give us a official audio snippet of how to say these words.
You know, I'm kind of wondering if they even understand how to say them.
They probably just come up with a jumble of letters like, this works, let's make this a name.
This looks good.
And then when this it comes looks to like audiobook,
a Sang Healy name.
And then when it comes to the audiobook, it's like, how do you say this? I'm like, it's Thel Ve De Mai?
Thel Vitamin? What?
Vitamin. Seriously, Grimm. Come on. Step up your game a little bit.
But yeah, I just finished Smoke and Shadow again, and because I hadn't gone through it in a while, and it's got me really pumped for this book.
Yep. I've got a lot to finish, for sure.
Yeah, you need to step up your game and get caught up.
I do. Yep. I need to get my button gear and just have some sessions where I just cram it out. So instead of like binge sessions on Netflix, I'm going to need to have some binge sessions on Halo books. I just need to do it.
Yeah.
Just needs to get done. Desk update number one from Grimm. Unisex desk is largely dominated by a row of still inbox Halo icons figures, all precisely aligned in a linear fashion. I've loaded up his Xbox One to see if playing on his account and from his chair bestows upon me the power of the ancient war god I know lives within him. It does not. I'm still bad at this game, and now his stats contain a connected blemish to prove it. This last part was a joke. Aw. In his bottom drawer next to an unmailed love letter to Richard Sims lies Uni's pristine pair of office Sambas, so named because he literally changes out of one pair of identical Sambas when he arrives for work into a clean pair that looks just like them. This was not a joke. Next section in here talks about what we kind of already talked about with how HCS is going to be changing after HCS DreamHack Atlanta. So that's going to be, we're kind of already taking care of that. So we're going to just kind of skip over that a little bit. There is some streams that I haven't had a chance to catch up on, but last week they had, I don't know what OE producer is. Do you know what OE stands for? I didn't watch the stream last week or this week.
Yeah, I watched it and I don't remember it.
So if someone in the stream knows what it is, be helpful. Confel gave me 18 bits saying, same, need to binge the Halo books. Oh, he's given us bits three times. 14, 24, and 18. Cool. Thanks.
Bits, more bits.
Bits, and more bits. So yeah, last week we had the OE producer Paige Johnson on. I'm going to have him watch that stream. And then this week, Turn 10 community manager Brian Ekberg. So Turn 10 is the studio that made makes the Forza Horizon games. And since there's the whole Warthog experience in there, and since Grimm was over on their stream about 2 months ago to show off the Halo experience, they had Brian Ekberg come over and play some Halo with Grimm. and they played some of the race maps that were actually provided by Duquesne. So shout outs to Duquesne for getting some race on. Desk update number 2. Nina's desk is an ode to a minimalist perfection, astutely manicured in a way that only expert level 20 producer could hope to achieve. I've actually come to realize that even her desk is better at planning than I am. It also loves using Microsoft Teams, which I do not understand. So social streams take place from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Pacific time over on the Halo Mixer channel. So check it out if you have the chance. I know some people can't exactly make it because it's during work hours, which definitely sucks. But hey, it is what it is. And if you have a chance to watch the stream, then you have a chance to also play and earn yourself the Ice Unicorn skin and the Ice Unicorn nameplate. So if you have the chance, it's definitely worth it. Also, make sure that you check out some of the playlist changes coming. So this week, we have Griffball taking the place of Triple Team, which, because of the popularity of Big Team Super Fiesta, they've actually kept that one in rotation now for a fourth week. So Triple Team was added last week. Now that's out. And Griffball is in, joining Big Team Super Fiesta in Halo 5.
Maybe we're looking at another permanent playlist.
Maybe. It's given me an excuse to use all of my legendary XP boosts. So I get about 8,000 per game. And sometime earlier this week, I think it was either yesterday or Tuesday, I got my 145.
Nice.
Yeah. Slowly moving up. Slowly. And then in MCC, we talked about this a little bit last week because of the whole infection invasion coming across Halo. So Infection joins Team Snipers in MCC, and that's been in there since the 17th last week, since Wednesday last week. Desk update number III, number 3. I am now at the desk shared by Dr. Jesse Jessaberti Thomas and Tyler Postums Davis. As they aren't always in the office, this particular workspace is rather Spartan. Little S, not big S. The only obvious desk ornaments are two promotional flyers, one for an upcoming PUBG tournament, and another for some sort of popular technology conference. I've spent the past 36 minutes trying to figure out who is attending what. Oh, that's funny.
I think the moral of this story is if you're not in your office, make sure you lock the door.
People must be on the holiday this week or something. I don't know. So this weekend, Halo 5 turns 3, which we would normally be seeing a new Halo game by now, but we're not. So that there's that. But to celebrate Halo 5 turning 3, we have a couple things happening this weekend. All playlists will be double XP. So perfect time to use your legendary XP boosts in Warzone, Turbo, and Firefight, and Big Team Super Fiesta. Like, this is the perfect time to start boosting up your XP if you really need that XP grind. Perfect time to do it. They're also giving away a Greatest Hits customization rec pack to everyone who logs in and plays a game this weekend. And it keeps getting better. They're also in the store. Where did I put this? Shoot. There's another rec pack that they're having available for sale in the store this weekend. And I thought I wrote it down, but I can't find it.
It is the Greatest Hits Vehicle Pack.
There it is. Found it. Thank you.
That will be available for a limited time in the rec store.
Yep. So if you got plenty of rec points stocked up and you want to use them on vehicles, then there's the chance for you there as well. They're giving you pretty much every reason to jump into Halo this weekend. You have MCC Insider if you're part of the program. You have Halo 5 turning 3 with lots of cool stuff. MCC has Infection. It's got some love there.
I don't know. We might have to play Halo 5 this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of MCC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just so we can take advantage of those double XP.
Yeah. Do it. Do it.
Because I just rolled 148, and it's a long way to 149.
I bet. So Grim goes over some of his favorite aspects of Halo 5 because of Halo 5 turning 3 years old. So first one is Sanghelios. Just the Sanghelios campaign arc and just the environments that were made. One of his favorite pieces. Blue Team. He said he wanted more Blue Team. And he says he knows many of us did too. That 3 missions was not nearly enough. Which I think is probably a unanimous thought. Fireteam Osiris is another thing that he likes about it. From the fantastic voice performances to the unique and diverse origins of the characters. I still think some of the characters were probably lacking in this story. But yeah. It definitely gave a different perspective, but the balance between Fireteam Osiris and Blue Team was definitely lacking. The Arbiter's slick new Kaidan armor. I do have to say it was pretty cool. All in the gold and yeah.
Not exactly stealthy, no.
No. But definitely looks cool. The Wasp. Grim says he loves it. It's a freaking flying piece of paper. I mean, yeah, it's a cool vehicle concept, but it's just not very useful.
I don't know. There's a lot of people who make good use out of them.
I guess.
Don't get me wrong. You gotta understand the Wasp to use it. And it's a fickle aircraft.
Fair point. Warzone Firefight, which I would have to agree with. Grim says, I loved each iteration of Halo's Horde mode. From the terrifying urgency of ODSTs to the bonkers level experience customization of Reach. Halo 5 Spin gave us a brand new take on the cooperative classic with big maps, bigger arsenal, and variety objectives to boost. Super frickin' Fiesta. Amen. Yes. HCS, Forge, and the people. Overall, pretty good list. Pretty good list. I could go without the Fireteam Osiris and the Wasp, personally. But that's just me.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I enjoy the Wasp. You know, it's just, I don't enjoy the Wasp in regular Warzone. But, like, when you're playing Firefight or, you know, you're on a big team map with a Wasp, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, sure. Certainly. Next up is an update on the MCC Insider. So, for those that were participating last week, they were starting to test out the Match Composer and the controller customization options in the MCC Insider build. They will be having more play sessions this weekend as well. On Friday the 26th through Sunday the 28th, between 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time and 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific time on all 3 days. And they've gotten some great feedback from people already. There was a YouTuber by the name of No Strings PRD who gave a pretty good breakdown of the aiming acceleration and the updates in the Insider build, and they highlighted that in the article, saying that they're taking that piece of feedback and incorporating it into possibly giving us more controller options, such as kind of a classic and a modern toggle for aim acceleration, all that stuff. So it almost sounds like universally making all the control schemes work the same for look speed, which would be so great.
You know, I watched the video and there's a lot of stuff about the look acceleration that I did not. Well, I thought I understood, but I didn't. The way they lay out the movement pattern on the joystick, you know, as far as forward, back, left, right. And then where that look acceleration zone kicks in to accelerate how fast you turn. That's stuff I didn't know. I do recommend that you go check that video out. And it really opened my eyes to why the controller does what it does.
I haven't watched it yet, so I do plan on watching it. Washing my controller.
Well, it's given me some insight on how to better fine tune my controller to my feel or what I want out of the controller. So,
okay. I plan on watching it. I need to.
I would highly recommend it.
For the insider build, they're adding for this weekend Griffball, SWAT, Team Snipers, and Infection playlists to help stress test the new features, which will be awesome. It would be nice for me personally if they could enable customs, because I would like to test out the controller specifically for Halo 3, because that's the game I specifically have problems with aiming on. And
well, that's something that this gentleman said in his video. He would really like them to add a custom games lobby so that people can get in and play and test that stuff. And, you know, and not be in matchmaking, spinning around in a circle.
Yeah. Like, I don't, that's one of those things. Like, how did you miss this opportunity here? If you're looking at something specifically like controller customization, you want someone to be able to thoroughly test that. And you can't do that in a matchmaking environment.
Well, you can, but you're not much help in the matchmaking game.
Well, okay, yeah.
He actually makes comment in the game that, or in the video, that he matched up with Postums two or three times and had to wonder if Postums wondered what this guy was doing over in the corner running around in circles.
Should have been a hit saying, hey, you need to put a customs lobby in here. Just, you know.
But, wink, you know, wink, you don't have to put the full customs package in there, but
no. You know,
at least be able to load up a map and a game type in each of the different engines. You know, Halo CE, Halo 2, Halo 2A, Halo 3, Halo 4. You don't have to really worry about ODST because, you know, there's no real...
Well, it's based off the Halo 3 aiming mechanic anyways.
And, you know, the funny thing is I liked ODST, but I hated Halo 3 when it came to aiming. Isn't that weird?
It's the same aiming mechanic.
It works different.
Really? I thought it was always the same aiming mechanic.
They made a change to it somewhere, and it's different. At least it feels different to me. In ODST, okay. I can pull off headshots with no problem. In Halo 3, there's some nights I don't think I could hit an elephant with a bazooka.
Well, Misa is saying the same thing, so I guess so. But are you talking about just in MCC, or did you get the same experience between the 360 versions?
Same on 360.
I guess they must have changed the aiming mechanic a little bit then between the games. Huh. Okay.
I think the biggest problem, I never really had a problem aiming, it's just it didn't seem like the bullets ever went where I was pointing.
Because you had to, it was, was it? Forget which one, the hit scan.
Well, in Halo 3, I think the bullets were an actual physical item that had travel time.
Yep. Yeah, Halo 3 was one of the only games in Halo to do that, I think.
If they would just take that away and make it like all the rest of the games, then I'd probably be fine.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty big undertaking, though, I think.
Probably.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else new on the MCC Insider Build? Nope. That's pretty much all the same information as we covered last week. That they're testing the new couple capabilities and just the new Insider playlists for matchmaking. So, yep, that's pretty much it for that. So, Halo Wars 2, the fall season, is wrapping up this weekend, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. It is the Halo Wars Championship League's Fall Invitational hosted by The Banished. And there are 16 teams that will be going in through the group stage and elimination stage. And then the top three players from this weekend will be receiving a loot box from 343. And the winner will receive a limited edition Halo Wars 2 poster signed by members of the studio and will have the opportunity to suggest one 343 approved balance change made to the game in a future update. So in Group A stage, we have Almirante 99, Jedi, Agonized Storm, and RKO Star Fox. In Group B, we have Rock Generation, Admiration, Large Godzilla, and EOD Spartan Seb. In Group C, we have Mike Beaston, Scott Man 2, Mighty Hoax, and Happy Joey 752471. And then in Group D, we have Cars and Cameras, Metalloid Monkey, Icon's Sidekick, and El Hetch 10.
There's something interesting in that last group, that Cars and Cameras, that's a YouTube channel I watch.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of wonder if it's the same guys.
Yeah. Huh. It could be. Look up the gamer tag and see if in the profile it has the link to their YouTube channel.
Well, no, on their YouTube, they deal with cars. They deal with motorized
vehicles. I got that.
Go-karts, mini bikes, cars, boats, you know, whatever they happen to decide they want to build. But mainly they deal with small engine stuff, you know, like go-karts and mini bikes.
Okay.
But yeah, I just, that's interesting.
Well, judging by their profile, that's probably not them then.
Probably not.
Interesting coincidence, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Confell's like, Bobby in there? No. He doesn't have the internet connection. Because now it's BobbyNet, not BioNet. Bobby has taken over Bio's internet. So now it's BobbyNet.
Bobby's on SquirrelNet.
The next section talks about the infection update, which we talked about last week. And we're back to another desk update. Number 4. Sketch's desk has been with him since his days at Bungie. It speaks to him in a way one might liken to an alien symbiote or a rampant AI counterpart. Late at night, sometimes I can hear it murmuring an unintelligible idyllic. It remained foreign to me until I came into work today wearing a camo jacket. This seemed to pique the desk's interest. I believe it might have confused me for its master. It told me things. Of Halo 2's original ending, of canceled E3 plans of old, of Sketch's favorite brand of sandals. I have been changed by the things I now know. Joining the announcement of the Master Chief Avatar armor that we talked about last week, there is also an Atriox armor for the newest avatars, which I have to say, I'm not too keen over the new ones because the designs seem very childlike.
Cartoonish, yes.
Compared to the older ones, I don't like them personally.
I haven't even gone in and played with it yet, so I'm actually kind of afraid to because I don't want to lose my avatar. But the sad thing is now that they've got this new system, I can't go in and change my avatar. So everything that I have purchased or unlocked for it is now wasted.
There's still the old avatar editor you can access. Pretty sure. So you can still make changes to it.
I haven't messed with it, so.
They should be able to do a conversion on stuff that you've purchased before.
If they did the conversion.
Well, they've done it before. Yeah, no, there's not necessarily precedence for that. They'll do it again, but it'd be nice because, I mean.
Yeah, because I busted my butt to unlock all the Reach helmets and armors and all that.
Yeah, and I bought some of that stuff. I mean, it's kind of crappy if, like, oh, all your wasted investment on avatar items for this previous system is now done.
Gone, yeah.
That's just bad business.
You're done.
Like, I mean, this probably isn't the same, like, Master Chief Halo 4 armor, but, like, I bought that armor. And they had all the avatar codes that came in with the legendary editions of the game, like the Halo Reach legendary edition had avatar armor codes in it.
And then you had to do certain things in Reach to unlock the helmets.
That's just bad business if they don't convert those eventually. And then Grim also mentions on here the Taco Bell sweepstakes that is giving away a platinum Xbox One X. And it literally plays the Taco Bell gong song as the turn on sound. And then there's a commercial.
Nice to know.
I honestly wouldn't care.
This is, I have to admit, this is a pretty good commercial.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first time I've seen the full commercial. I've been seeing parts of it. I'm like, that's Halo. But this is the first time I've seen the whole commercial.
What'd you think of the whole thing?
Oh, it's hilarious. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Definitely. Finally, Grim mentions the community spotlight from last week and final desk update number 5. I sit back at my desk, but it will not soon remain my own. From the back alleys of the Halo Museum, a new charge beckons.
Interesting.
From the back alleys of the Halo Museum. When we did the Halo Museum tour, they did have some desks back there. I'm not sure what they were working on back there. Interesting. So that is this week's community update. We have a news article, actually not from Waypoint, to talk about. And that is, this was posted by IGN covering a tweet from, hopes if I have the article actually open, or an Instagram post, not a tweet, from Production Weekly, stating that the Halo live action TV series is going to begin shooting in Budapest, Hungary, in 2019. That's literally all the new information. But, I mean, we have a production start date.
Yeah.
So that's nice. And it's also kind of cool because I went to Budapest as part of my honeymoon, so I kind of know where they're going.
Nice.
Now, granted,
they did mention that it's going to be 10 one-hour episodes, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, so your typical season installment, a little short. Some are 12 or 13 or something like that, but it definitely has the one-hour mark on it, so it'll be a legitimate like TV series type of a thing. So IGN actually mentions a couple of different places that could serve as shooting locations. So they say the Danube Iopoli National Park and the Danube River. So I actually took the Danube River as part of my honeymoon and actually floated along by that park. We went by it at night, so I didn't actually get a chance to see the park. But I mean, the scenes along that route were just gorgeous. Eastern Europe is a beautiful place. If you ever have the chance to visit there for any reason whatsoever, I cannot recommend it more. It is so beautiful. The architecture there is also just serene and surreal. And the people over there are so nice. We had a fantastic time on our honeymoon.
That's good.
And a lot of the places, especially the places that are kind of like touristy, they speak English. So for all of us Americans who are uncultured and whatnot, can survive.
That's always a plus.
It is. But yeah, 2019 is when they start production. So the filming and everything. And it's open fields and trees. Is kind of that part of Europe. So I'm trying to think what they're starting out with as far as the production there. And I'm assuming it's not the only production site that they're going to, but it is kind of curious because we haven't seen that. Well, I guess that we saw that a little bit in Forward Unto Dawn with the training in the woods. So since this one is supposed to be more of the Human Covenant conflict, I don't know, and maybe I should read more of the books and I might have an idea where this goes, but I'm just trying to think of other areas within the Halo mythos where we've seen that kind of environment outside of like the initial books where John is training.
Well, I mean, we've seen that type of environment on Halo installations, Forerunner installations a lot, so.
That's true. There's a lot of possibilities. Confowl was saying that also means that there is a cast, which is true. I'm assuming we'll get a lot more information coming soon. And I'm hoping we hear more of it during E3 or something like San Diego Comic-Con. It'd be nice.
Well, with it starting early next year, we should.
Huh?
with production starting that early, I'm sure we'll hear plenty by the time the season comes around.
Gotcha. Misheard you there for a second. Sorry.
No problem.
It is definitely exciting. If it's Master Chief, I know probably Steve Downs isn't going to play him, but it'd be nice to have his voice, or if it's a younger chief, make sure it sounds pretty close to Steve Downs. Pence is saying...
Well, I think they did a pretty good job with Forward Unto Dawn.
I think they did. Yeah. I think they did.
You know, it definitely sounded like it could have been a younger Master Chief.
Yeah, it was believable. It definitely passed, I think.
You know, the Master Chief we're used to is the, you know, the 30, 40-year-old one, and, you know, he's got the gravelly old voice, and if this takes place earlier, then it, you know, it wouldn't be that far off to have, you know, a younger sounding voice or a less gravelly voice.
Well, and if you think about it too, Master Chief, accounting for all the cryo stuff, he's not that old.
No, well, he's actually only like in his early 40s. Actually, technically, he's the youngest Spartan 2 of actual age.
I mean, that makes sense because he was in cryo for almost 5 years. So that makes sense. Pins, do you have a metric or can pull up one of how old Chief is accounting for cryo? I'm assuming there's a number of that somewhere.
Actually, I think they state it in Halo 4.
Pins is saying Alice is the youngest.
No, I meant not necessarily chronological, but in lifespan.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
You know, the Chiefs spent the most time in cryo. Let's put it that way. Well, no, wait a minute. I take that back.
Pins is saying it's Alice. Was she in the one that was in the cryo tube throughout the second trilogy? Pins is saying, nope, Red Team spent more time in cryo than Chief.
Yeah, Red Team. Yeah, Red Team. And then,
yeah. Okay. That's a very good point. Halo Wars 2 makes sense. We'll put this way. He's the youngest on Blue Team. I digress. So that's all the news that we have to go over for this week. There's no new tweets out there, but there are a couple of community things to talk about. Podcast Evolved had an interview with Troy Denning, who is the author of Silent Storm, Last Light, and Retribution. So that is episode 168 for them. So go on over and check it out. It'd be cool to have him on the podcast one day. I got to read some books first.
It would be nice to catch up on that.
Yeah. Once I do, I'll send him a tweet out and be like, hey, so we're finally caught up, or I'm finally caught up. You want to come on the show and talk about your writing process?
Yeah, you want to talk about this book you wrote a year ago?
Yeah, I know. Installation 01 had another weekly update. They missed last week, but they had another one come up. And a couple of things to talk about there. They are looking for people to join the IO1 team. That's Installation 01. So for those that want to possibly participate in some game development like stuff for them, there are plenty of spots available, and this is all volunteer stuff, but there's a programmer, VFX artist, sound designer, lighting artist, animator, concept artist, and 3D artist positions available. There's no like academic requirements, but it's basically just looking for people that are willing to help out and they have proficiencies within certain tool sets and all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested in joining the team, then you can head over to the Installation 01 website and click on the button. There's a couple of short little bios for some team members there. So Patawan is a 3D artist. And then the Dongrel is a self-taught environment artist. Just a couple little blurbs about them on the update. And then it's over to Matthew Lake, who talks about character rigging. And he goes through how they model stuff based on skeletal and muscular structure and how it fits within Halo armor and some other texturing stuff when it comes to actually building the models. So it's a pretty lengthy read if you're interested in kind of learning some of the character animation, rigging, all that kind of stuff. It's a pretty good technical read. Doesn't get too deep into the weeds, but it's enough there that if you're interested in that kind of stuff, it kind of gives you a little insight to it. There are three maps, which they are showing off some more detail on. They also showed off how they started in block form and how they slowly added details over time. So the first one is called the New Order. It's a medium-sized map. Big team based on a map that is completely original to the Installation 01 team. It kind of gives the... there's the map in Halo 5. Not Torque, but the one with the... It's Fathom, but it's not submerged in water. You know which one I'm talking about, GT?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Now I can't even think what the name of that one is.
Yeah. But that's the one that this map kind of gives me a little bit of a vibe of. A little bit. That and a tad bit of Fangham High, I guess. If that makes sense. So that was the first one. The second one is called Goliath. And this one kind of has the prisoner slash the other Plaza remake one as well. Just from the concept art.
Pins got it. The first one, which was Riptide.
Riptide. Thank you. So yeah, first one, Riptide, and a tad bit of Hang'em High. So the second one there being Prisoner and whatever the Fathom remake was. And then the last one is called Judgment. And this one has a lot of a Heretic vibe to it. It is Covenant themed, has at least the concept art definitely shows that Covenant ship, that Covenant High Charity architecture to it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that is the update from Installation 01 team this week. And we are looking to add some more updates from our other community organizations as we kind of bolster up the podcast topics. There is a jack-o'-lantern that someone actually posted on Reddit. And since we don't have the Guild-o'-lantern contest anymore, which is kind of sad, I figured it'd be worth a share. So I don't have this pulled up on my Xbox to show on the stream, but I am going to post it in the chat so people can see it. Oh, and thank you, Pins. Overgrowth is the remix of Plaza, so it's Overgrowth and Prisoner a little bit. So yeah, check that link out. It's a pretty cool one. It is basically the legendary difficulty shield carved into a pumpkin, which is really cool. I wish I had that kind of talent, because I have some pretty cool ideas I would like to put into a pumpkin carving.
I wish I had that much patience.
There's that too. but certainly a nice little work of art. I certainly appreciate it. And I'm surprised there hasn't been more pumpkins. I know there's been a lot for Inktober, so there's been a lot of artist drawings and other people posting on Twitter every day some new drawing, but I haven't seen much with pumpkins this year. And it kind of makes me a little sad.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if our pumpkin's going to survive till the end of the month.
We had one that we bought specifically for carving, and it's already rotting, so we have to go buy another one to carve for Halloween, and we are going to sit out and give out some candy to kids this time around.
No, I think the squirrels are going to eat the pumpkin before we get a chance to carve it.
Oh, have they already gotten into it?
They're digging into the skin pretty good. They're trying to get their mouth around it.
Just trying to eat away at it.
But no, we've been having cool temperatures, so we just left it set out on the front porch, and it's been fine.
Okay.
Other than the squirrels trying to eat it.
Fair enough. That's
got to be hilarious to watch, though.
Yeah, I bet. Seeing a squirrel trying to get into a pumpkin and get all the seeds. Let's see, what do we have next on here? That's pretty much it. Just a reminder to check out the Loot Crate. There is the Halloween 25 code that gets you 25% off all crates through Halloween. So if you are one of those people that are looking for a good deal or possibly a gift of some kind or whatever, especially kind of leading into the holidays and all the stores have Christmas stuff out already, you can use that code to get 20% off any crate. And if you go to podtacular.com/lootcrate, it'll take you to the Halo crate. They have not announced the next crate yet, but the orders for that are going to be deadline of December 15th. So podtacular.com/lootcrate for the Halo crate and Halloween 25 for 25% off any crate. And also another note to check out the Halo Hub. I got a couple new features with Virgil coming soon. One is going to be Twitter integration to tweet all the Halo Twitter accounts and some other little kind of fun auto-posting stuff for streamers. So check it out over at thehalohub.com if you so choose. And that is all for the news this week. Unless you can think of anything I missed, GT. Heading on over to our Spartan company to look at our accommodations. We are getting pretty close to finishing another one here. We've got the three at the bottom still as well. The I'm Just Perfect, which is the killing a player with precision weapons without missing. We have another 224 to go. Killing an enemy Spartan with a melee. We have another pretty much 1,000 to go there. And then killing an enemy when your health is low and survive. That one is just under or just over 800 to go. So those are our three closest one. And everyone knows what our furthest ones away are. That's not changing anytime
soon. They haven't changed. They're still there.
Yeah. So if you're interested in joining our Spartan company, you can head on over to podtacular.com/company. We do have slots available if you're looking for the Achilles helmet. I do go and clean out the list every once in a while from people that are inactive. And it is just one of the things is we're going to keep on playing and trying to keep on getting it as far as we can. Till Infinite comes out, and we'll probably, like, if we're close, I'll probably still play to try to get the Achilles helmet in Halo 5. But definitely be nice to try to get it done before Infinite comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Might be tough, but if Halo Infinite's not coming out for another 2 years at least, I think we'll have some time.
No, we just keep plugging away at it.
Yep. Pretty much. That will wrap it up for the podcast tonight. Thank you, everyone, that were tuning into live streams for dealing with us until we got the stream going. We will try to get this technical stuff figured out at one point or another. It'd be nice if, you know, fresh installs actually meant that things worked, but apparently they don't. We have our game nights on Friday that you can check out with GT hosting at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I think we'll be doing Halo 5 this weekend pretty much because of the Halo 5 birthday and all of the fun stuff going there.
That's 8:30 Eastern Time, not 5:30.
Sorry, 5:30 Pacific Time. It's late. You can also check out my achievement streams on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and then I'll be streaming with the wife to finish the Halo CE campaign on Tuesday, sometime between 7 and 7:30 start time. You can also check us out on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find us also streaming on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. And also check out our Spartan Company and our Xbox Club. You can also find more information about some other pretty cool podcasts over at THEPODKAST, which includes podcasts like Critcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Team Fortress 2. Podcast 76, which is an Overwatch podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, and there's also Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. I need to see if those shows are still running, actually, too. You can find out more about those shows over at thepodcast.com. Looking forward to seeing everyone during the streams for the upcoming week. If not, we'll see you back here on the podcast, either live in the show, which those are Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or via download. Either way you listen to us, we appreciate the support. So shout us out on Twitter. Let us know what you like about the podcast, what you don't like. We'll take all kinds of good feedback. And oh, also we're on Discord as well. I usually forget that one, but you can find us on Discord as well. So until next time, thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you hopefully this weekend, celebrating some Halo 5 birthday stuff. In the meantime, keep on fragging them trucks.